This week's episode.
Yep. Leave it all in there.
This week's episode is brought to you by preseason football. We know it doesn't matter, but hey, football's back, so.
It's on my TV, and that's good enough for me.
Seriously, I got a text about doing another Confidence Picks one through work, and I was just like, you know what, that's fine, because that one is literally $30 for the year, and you only win, like, $30 if you win that week, so I'm like, I could throw away $30.
See, but the thing to me is that the whole Confidence Picks setup is annoying. I don't like the rank your how much you think each one's gonna be.
Yeah.
I think it should just be straight up, pick the winner, and then at the end of the year, we're going to see who wins. Because I really doubt that a lot of people are going to have, like, the exact same score in terms of amount of games I picked right.
Yeah.
I would imagine, like, 1 week it might be the same. And, like, even through 3 weeks it might be like, oh, we have a bunch of people with the same number. But as you get through the season, people aren't going to be picking games right. It's just going to be a fact.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's usually the start of the season you fuck up the most, because the teams, they're those ones who choke and they're not as good as they were the year before. And then there's the ones that are better than you thought, and you're like, holy shit, where'd these people come from? So it's always the start of the season, I feel, is always the most random of, I don't know how this is gonna go. But anyway,
yeah, no, I agree, but it's just the ranking it shit that just bugged me. It's like, so we would do that, you probably did it too, through the Fraternita. You guys do that?
No, we just did fantasy. We didn't do Confidence Picks.
Oh. Well, it was just through Greek life, but like,
oh, I do remember you guys yeah, filled the group, it out. I remember you guys were doing that,
because we would just hand it out at our meetings. We just hand out to everybody and fill it out. But I swear to God, there were so many times when I was just like, I don't even like, I'm looking at all these games and I don't even want to take the 5 minutes required to think about how I'd rank these. I'm like, screw it, I'm done. Yeah. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would just take like 15 minutes at the, or not 15 minutes, I'd take a couple minutes at the start of each work day, like Monday or Tuesday work day, just to fill out the next one.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. Football's back. That's all that matters.
But also, dear listeners, make a mental note that Steve's talking about how he's going to do this Confidence Picks and he's totally, like, cool about it. In 10 weeks, 15 weeks, go through all the preseason and then we're in, like, week 10. Steve is going to be extremely livid at how bad he's doing, and he's going to regret everything. Mm-hmm. So just remember that. A little mental.
Story of my life. Regret everything. I regret everything. Steve Hodge memoir.
I have regrets.
Anyway, hello. Welcome to Hodgepodge. Yes, the official podcast of CountryHodgepodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin, and lover, Kevin Hodge.
Football!
This week we're going to talk about David Nail, and my favorite 10 songs. Kevin's never been a giant fan of David Nail, so this is all on me. And then we're going to talk about the number one song from this week, but not from this year, because this year is terrible. And then we're going to talk about some albums that came out last week. So let's just hop straight into David Nail.
Before we do that, I just realized I totally have an idea of what we should have made this week's ad. Because today is the anniversary of 15 years ago when Dave Matthews Band tour bus drove over the bridge in Chicago and dumped all the poop on people. And I saw it, because I saw it on the internet, and then like 2015 or something, someone had put like a fake sign and it just said on this site in, you know, whatever, like 2005 or whatever the fuck it was. You know, Dave Matthews Band tour bus dumped this many pounds of poo on innocent people. Never forget, always remember.
It's a perfect representation of his music. Just a pile of shit hitting you in the face. That's what his music is.
Hey now,
you're an all star.
Hey now,
get your game on.
Get your game face, bro. That's the words, yes. Right? Yeah, sorry. We can get into it. When you said David Nail, I thought Dave Matthews. I'm like, wait a second. Today's a big day.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so David Nail is an artist who has, like, 3.5 country albums and then one just not country album. But I wanted to talk about his first few albums because I think they're amazing. And despite the fact that I think it was The Fighter, it had some crappy kind of pop songs. And then he had the one that came out, David Nail and the Well Ravens. I don't remember if it's self-titled or not. I don't remember. But that one, I really like the album, but it's just not country. So I wanted to...
Yeah.
It would be like if we did a Taylor Swift episode, which we'll never do. But it would be like we would talk about her first two or three albums because those were considered country. Whereas we wouldn't talk about fucking, was it 1986 or whatever, that album? Whatever the hell it's called.
It was definitely a 1980 year.
Something. I don't remember.
I'll give you that.
I don't fucking know. Or the emo one where she's like, I'll kill you, or whatever that shitty one it was. I can't remember.
Oh, yes.
I don't remember. Taylor Swift sucks. Anyway, before we get into the top 10, I wanted to honorably mention, I got it down to 14. I was debating just doing a top 14, but then I was like, I'm not going to push you through that. So, just really quickly, the four that I left off that I thought were worth mentioning is Red Light, which I know we've talked about before because that's the one where it's him going through a breakup and he's like, it's not raining, it's not night, what the hell, it's Sunday afternoon and it's sunny out, this isn't how it's supposed to go, and I just think it's kind of a cool song in that way. Then She Rides Away, which is another fantastic one about being dumped. Home, which features Lori McKenna. It's just a really, really nice song from his newest album, or his newest country album, not the Well Ravens one. And then I Won't Let You Go, which also features Vince Gill, which is also really good. But so those are the four that I really like. But,
nice.
Getting into the top 10.
Yeah.
Number 10 is I Thought You Knew.
You never told me.
This one, it's like a song about how I think, like, he's being told, like, you know, like, you aren't showing affection to me and all this kind of shit, and he's just like, the chorus is like, I just thought you knew, like, I figured it was something you knew. That, no, not Keith Urban, you stupid Google, not Keith Urban. But
indeed,
yes.
Not Keith Urban.
So you'd never...
I would never besmirch David Nail's name by thinking that he's similar to Keith Urban.
But so the line is, I never told you that my love was true. Well, I thought you knew. Like, that's the end of the chorus.
Oh,
line.
Like a missed opportunity, but like, he just was completely... He's like, I thought you were aware of how much I cared and how much I felt and all that stuff. I gotcha.
You're frozen.
And now a nice, poor connection... Video will resume automatically when connection improves. Joke's on you, phone. Connection will never improve.
I don't know what's happening. It's just poor connection. And I don't know what's going on. You're back.
I just kept talking, and I could hear you in the background saying, I don't know what's going on. This poor connection. I don't know what's going on.
But yeah, so it's just like a whole thing of like the girl left him and it's just like, well, I didn't realize that I wasn't showing you the affection I thought you knew that I was, or kind of thing. And it's just a really well sung song. David Nail actually has an amazing voice, despite if people don't like his songs or do like his songs or whatever.
Yeah, no, he can definitely sing. That's for sure.
Next up is number 9, Desiree.
But I know that my leaving will spare us both the pain.
So this song is, it's also, I mean, it's not only specific with David Nail, it's pretty much specific with our music choices. It's, a lot of these are heartbreak songs, which is, as we said a million times, the saddest songs are the best songs, because...
I would never.
Kevin's all about White Claw Country, which, by the way, is probably my favorite kind of coined term from this podcast now. And I've actually sold, already sold a couple of those shirts, the White Claw Country nice. Ones. So if you guys want, tpublic.com/Cliftron, or just search Country Hodgepodge, White Claw Country. It's a fantastic, there are three versions of the shirt, and they're all amazing, and you should buy them. Anyway. So this song is about a girl named Desiree leaving him, obviously Desiree. When I was younger and dumberer, I thought this song was, I didn't see the title and I thought he was saying Desert Rain, and I'm like, I don't get it, what's happening, but,
cause it doesn't rain that much in the desert, and that's why it's cool.
But the, so he talks about how, like, he wrote a note. It's killing me to write the word goodbye, which is the first lyric, and then in teardrops at the bottom of the page it says, I love you, Desiree. It's about a girl who left him for a guy with money, because in the thing he says, you love his money more than me. And so it's about the...
Goddamn banker man!
Goddamn banker man. This is written by Jamie Johnson. but yeah, it's just another amazing heartbreak song, and it's worth checking out. Next up is a equally sad song, is number 8, I'm About to Come Alive. Ugh. Maybe I'm not, but you're all I've got left to believe in. Don't give up on me, I'm about to come alive.
Song is it'd just be hilarious if he had like a little bit of a pause in there. He just said, I'm about to come alive.
Baby, you know I'm about to come alive. but no, the actual song, it's it's about he's upstairs and he can hear his wife talking on the phone downstairs saying, like, I think I should leave him. Then, like, you know, it's just not as great as it used to be. And then it ends with, like, hold on, I gotta go, the baby's waking up or whatever. And so he just overhears, obviously, his wife saying, like, fuck this guy, I want to leave. And so the chorus is like, hold on, please don't give up on me yet. I'm about to, you know, become a better person. And, I'm trying to think. I gotta look it up. I'm about to come alive. Boop, boop, ba-da-doo, boop, boop. full lyrics.
So you're telling me it's neither about him nor his wife yelling that they're about to come.
Yep.
Dot, dot, dot. Alive.
Yes. It's doot, 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 doot. Coming alive. Coming alive. but no, the lyric I really like from this song is, it's the first line from the chorus. It goes, maybe I'm not, but you're all I've got left to believe in. And it's, I think that is such a powerful line.
That's pretty great.
Yeah,
that's pretty great. Definitely would be ruined by making a simple cum joke, that's for sure.
Well, the third verse is all about needing Kleenex, so.
Oh, well. I'm just saying, Tyler Childers has opened the door. We can talk about jerking off, all sorts of things. in country music nowadays. We'll get to that.
It's true. And then another great line is in the second verse. He says, "No one thought I was good enough for you, except for you. Don't let them be right." It's just like, oof,
oof.
Yeah. So this song, the lyrics are just fantastic, and I love this song, and everyone should listen to it. Number seven. number seven is "Looking for a Good Time" by David Nail. Just lay it down like a corner on a railroad train. Sticks to the wheel, you're never gonna get it back. It won't do you no good to change your mind. You already fell. Not Lady Antebellum, you stupid fucking thing. There we go. So this song, it's heartbreaking in a different sense. It's kind of on like the same level as like Black Tears, with, you know, Jason Aldean sang, and kind of songs like that, where it's about a girl who wants love, but she's having trouble finding it. So instead, she's just out there, quote unquote, looking for a good time. And it's about, you know, it's about these guys who just says, "So now all the boys call you when they're looking for a good time." And it's just this thing about like how this girl is gorgeous and she's looking for love, but instead she's just being used to get plowed by dudes who want to get plow. But it's fantastic, and it's sad. It's a very sad
song. I like any time you can take a song with a title like that, where you're like, oh, is this just going to be some shitty bro song, and have it not be that.
Yeah, because then it's, the line that has the line, because you think that you're getting love, but they know they're just getting some, and it's just like, so she's getting hit and quit, but she's trying to find love, but instead she's just getting the guys who are just looking for a good time, and yeah, it's sad, and it's good, and you should listen to it. Number six is R-E-S-P-C-K. number six is "Missouri." Waiting on that phone to ring, I'm wondering which day it will be. Oh,
I do know this one, and I like this one.
Yeah, I do love this one, because it has the dobro in the background, which sounds amazing, but it also has the, I just love the really clever thing of, like, you just gotta get back to misery, and then at the end, he goes, misery, misery, and then he slows down and goes, Missouri, and it's just like, holy shit, he's using it as a double word thing, stuff.
Yeah, I like that. That's neat. It really is.
It's a great song. You should listen to it. It's by David Nail. It's a good song.
Try it out.
number five is "Catch You While I Can." Beneath the coolness of conversation, what no one else can see is a gamble between two strangers that's taken a hold of. Based on that Leonardo DiCaprio movie,
It is a great movie, though.
Yeah, it is.
For real, Catch Me If You Can. It's a great film.
I just typed in catch to look up the lyrics on Google, and the first thing that it said was, catch me outside.
Oh, God. Is that person still, like, a thing? I know I'm not really asking you, because you would have zero idea, because you would not pay attention to such things.
Is her name,
is she still
is
a thing?
Is her name, like, Bad Baby or something like that?
Yeah, but, like, I just assume...
Oh, she just went away, or that no one cares.
Well, exactly. Like it was, oh, it's a Cash Me Outside girl. Oh, she calls herself Bad Baby now. And then I was like, okay, and now, done. Like, are we done now? Or, okay, our new running back's good. Sorry, random, really random side tangent.
There you go.
Big fan. Montgomery is good.
There you go. But
Catch Me Outside.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that she's like 13, but she looks like she's about 25, and she's probably banged every person in her neighborhood.
Yeah, no, I see a very fucked up drug related future for that one.
Yeah, well, the second she's 18, some sex tape of hers is getting leaked on the internet.
Yeah,
not to talk shit about a minor, but she's kind of a terrible person.
And now nice transition into country music.
Yeah, nah, she's a terrible person. I did though, really quickly, when David Spade posted a picture of her on Instagram. It was just like, she didn't know who I was, and she replied like, I genuinely thought this guy was the waiter.
That's great.
No touchy.
No touchy.
Are you kidding me? This is hand-carved mahogany.
Are you kidding me? It's hand-carved mahogany.
For those of you who aren't as amazing as us, if you don't remember the movie Emperor's New Groove, there's something wrong with you. We watched it, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and oh my God.
Poison specifically chosen for Cusco. Cusco's poison.
Anyway, Catch You While I Can. Did we say that already? I think so. I don't know.
I think so.
Oh yeah, because I said the stupid Leonardo DiCaprio movie thing.
That's how we got derailed. It's so simple, but
it's not difficult for us to get derailed by dumb shit. Oh no, it's because I saw the Catch Me Outside thing. That's why we got derailed.
Well, see, all related.
I just really love this one because the song itself is great, but I love it because there's like this, like a half a minute long intro or something of just like this really nice like guitar kind of like really calm guitar riff, and it kind of reminds me of like a, I don't know why, it always makes me think of Friday Night Lights. I don't know why, but it's like one of those where you'd kind of, it'd be like the moment in the movie or show or whatever where they're just kind of on, just standing on the football field with a sunset. I don't know why that's what it makes me think of, but it does. And
dude,
it's very calm.
That's Boys of Fall. I don't really, like, I don't listen to that song regularly by any stretch of the imagination, but that is a song that I will hear during football season and just feel the things,
Yeah,
and if you played football at any point in your life, it is such a song.
Yeah,
because for just
that song,
taking you
that
back.
Song came out while we were in high school.
Yeah. I think I was either a sophomore or a junior, and you were either a junior or a senior. And that's a guitar.
It's blue. But yeah, it's a... Yeah, but I don't know why. Yeah, the opening part of the song just makes me think of that. Like, listen to it after this podcast, and you'll... It's the feeling I get from it. I don't know why. But the song, it's a song of... It's him trying to find a love, and it's like, let me catch you while I can type thing, and it's good. But...
Nice.
Number four. Damn, we're already at four. Number four is Old Man Symphony.
I can hold a guitar, but I'll never play the lead. The only way I'm gonna entertain is in these words I sing. I couldn't be famous, but I'll never wish to be. I just long to be an old in the old man symphony.
Old Town
it's
Road.
Such a cool song. Like, the first time I heard it, I didn't really get the lyrics, but then I, let's do it more. And it's a really cool song about his, he's singing about his dad. And he's talking about how his dad, he just loved playing guitar. And he would just learn songs by ear, and he would play songs. He never tried being famous. He never tried singing or anything. He just loved playing guitar. And he goes, and since my dad was playing guitar, it was up to me to sing because he was playing background. And so, and he's just like, talks about like, I'll never play lead guitar, but it's up to me to put these words out to everyone and sing. And so it's just a really cool song about how he became like the singer he is. And then it's, so it's like, even if I'm never famous, I just want to be part of this old man symphony, like singing with his dad and like, you know, his dad's friends and kind of thing. And
yeah, I am a sucker for these kind of songs, so I'm definitely going to listen to this later and probably love it.
No, yeah, this one is, it's from his Fighter album, his newest country one, and but it's really fucking good. So yeah, definitely everyone check that one out. Number three is Half Mile Hill.
You can see the ball fields, watch the cars go round the courthouse, see the sun go down where the street lamps glow on those checkerboard roads, wishing I could fly like a cut string kite, tapping on the floor of heaven. Is anybody listening? Half Mile Hill, 17, telling.
This is the one that
I know this one, and I can't remember why, so you'll explain.
Well, this one, it was because when we showed it to you, I don't know how long ago, it was a while ago, but you heard the piano ballad version of it, which it was just him playing piano, and it's phenomenal. But the regular version off the album is also really good. But let me look it up. Half Mile Hill lyrics. Let me guess. It's not going to have David Nail. Oh, it is David Nail this time. But it's talking about him standing on this hill. Like, it's just him kind of reminiscing about his town type thing. And it goes through, like, his parents split and all this kind of stuff. Like, it says, suitcase packed, he was moving out, said it's no one's fault, but I had my doubts, and I still have him still up on Half Mile Hill. Like, it's this really, it's this depressing song, and his, like, is anybody listening? Half Mile Hill, 17, tailing the summer, are Angie and me kicking beer cans off the side one last time? And it was just this, it's just this cool song about looking, it's kind of like a Give Me Back My Hometown-ish type song, where it's about the hometown, but it's not like a small town pride type song that you hear a million fucking times. It's more of like kind of looking back on not the greatest growing up, but you still remember it. And it's, yeah, it's a phenomenal, phenomenal song.
Word.
Number two is actually a song written by Phil Vassar, but it's still phenomenal, is The Sound of a Million Dreams.
So labor for hours, cause I know the power of a song when a song hits you right. Pour my soul into stories of life, hoping someone will hear one tonight. Maybe my voice will cut through the noise and stir up an old memory. And out of these piano keys comes the sound of a million dreams.
So this is the title track from his second album, and you can definitely hear Phil Vassar in the song, not like him actually singing or playing, but you can like hear his touch to it, because it's a song kind of like Dancing with Dreams by Phil Vassar, where it's the song about him following his dreams. And so he says the piano key coming out of the piano keys is the sound of a million dreams. So it's the sound.
Oh yeah, I know this. I know this.
Yeah, and so it's the song. It's the song of like, every time I hear Mama Tried, I still, you know, pull off to the side of the road and cry. Like, it's all this, like, him leaving his town to go chase his dream and all that. And so it's just that awesome line of, and from the sound of these, or the, and from these piano keys comes the sound of a million dreams. And it's just this really cool song about chasing a dream.
Yeah.
And you can tell it's Phil Vassar because it's about him playing piano. And obviously Phil Vassar is like the master of piano. So you can tell it's a Phil Vassar song, but David Nell definitely nails it.
Absolutely.
Because his voice is much better than Phil Vassar's. Not that Phil Vassar is a bad singer.
He nails it.
A phenomenal singer. So. Exactly. What's funny is that you were just frozen, so it's just you like, but I just heard over a frozen screen.
No, I was ventriloquist dummying it out of my face, so it was actually live.
Wow, you need to go to that professionally like Jeff Dunham. But anyway, yeah, so that's a phenomenal song, too. But number one is by far my favorite song that got... I don't even know if it's on Spotify again, but I have Apple Music now, so it doesn't matter.
Aren't you cool?
I am cool. That's the thing that sucks about David Nail is so many of his songs got taken off Spotify. I don't know if they're back, but they were off Spotify last time I checked, and I haven't checked in a while, so who knows.
Am I a pretty girl?
Yeah.
Sure.
Number one is Strangers on a Train. Love this song so much. It's just this song about a guy who's, you know, in a committed relationship, but he's on a train and he just sees this, you know, beautiful woman like an aisle up or, you know, across the seats or whatever. And he's just and it just goes into this thing of like, I know I'm not going to do anything, but in my mind, like, you're holding me and we're in this happy relationship and all this. And it's just this really cool, like, just a quick fantasy the guy has, and it's just like, and I don't want to stop in the aisle because I'm afraid you might stop me, and, you know, no one else on the train knows that this is happening, but you and I are kind of having this little connection even though nothing's ever going to happen. And so it ends with him getting off the train, and she puts her hand on the window, and it just pulls away, and it's just like, it's just a really cool, like, love story that never happens type thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah, missed opportunity kind of thing, but he was too afraid to do it. And then in the middle of it, he just stands up and yells, I'm sick and tired of these motherfucking strangers on this motherfucking train.
Yep, and then you find out it was a song sung by Samuel L. Jackson.
It'll get you drunk. Mm-mm, bitch.
So stupid. I love it though.
I'm glad they died, but, and I hope they rot in hell.
About this song, goddamn. The other thing I love about this song is it has the very prominent harmonica in the background, and it sounds so cool. I just love this song. It's by far my favorite David Nail song. But yeah, those are my top 10 that y'all should be listening to. So yeah, it's just, I mean, like I said before, it sucks that he kind of ditched country, but I do love actually his Well Ravens album. I think it's really good. It's just not country at all. Like, I love the song Gun. I think it's a phenomenal, phenomenal song. But yeah, it's not country, and it makes me sad.
Yeah, and like David Nail for me, because, you know, I've never been, you know, much of a fan, but it's just kind of the overall sound for whatever reason. But I always could tell that he's, you know, he's a tremendously gifted singer, and he knows, you know, he knows music. He's not making, like, garbage songs that have no substance. So he was one of those dudes that I was like, I would understand if this guy got really big, because I can see all the pieces. It's not necessarily there for me, but I can see everything that makes a guy really good. And then the fact that he never really, like, took off was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, the only time he really had, I think Red Light went to like number 3 or something like that, and then his song, whatever she's got, that like poppy kind of one. Was like, she got the blue jeans painted on tight, like that thing.
Exactly. Yeah, that kind of shit.
Which I think it's a nice, I think it's like a fun song. It's just not a great country song. But I did think it was a fun song. But yeah, so that's really, that song went number one. I think that's really the only time he had huge success. But he's still obviously a popular artist. He, you know, tours and performs for a lot of people. So
yeah.
But yeah, I just think he's great, and he's kind of more of now like a classic artist I listen to. He's not one. I mean, I look forward to his new music, but he's not one where I'm like, he's going to be the best country artist of the year, like type thing.
Yeah. But yeah.
Anyway, moving on to the number one country song of this week, but not from this year, because this year is terrible. This week, we are talking about a song that was number one for 4 weeks in 1997, from July 19th to August 9th, George Strait's Carrying Your Love With Me.
I'm carrying your love with me, West Virginia down to Tennessee. I'll be moving with the good Lord speed, carrying your love with me. It's my strength for holding on, every minute that I have to be gone. I'll have everything I'll ever need. I'm carrying your love with me.
Kevin hates this song because he thinks George Strait is pop country bullshit.
Indeed, and any song sung by him is immediately... George Strait's incredible, and this song is incredible.
Yeah, I can't remember if this one was featured on our top 10 list or not. We actually have done 15 with him, but I don't think this one...
I feel like it was.
Might have been.
I don't know. I love this song.
It probably was. I don't remember. It's been a while.
It is one of those ones, though, where the lines where they say, like, you know, West Virginia down to Tennessee, it's like they're literally like right next to each other. That's not far.
From Chicago to right outside Chicago.
Yeah. Well, so there's another song that's like super, it's fucking Keith Urban did it, where he's like from Georgia to Tennessee or whatever. Yeah. Like he had a line like that. I'm like, they border each other. They literally are right next to each other.
You can do the splits and be in both states, goddammit.
It's literally a tiny bit of land that you were describing. She's the prettiest girl from this, you know, infinitely small, thin line. So that's
She's the prettiest girl from this side of the street to the curb.
She's the prettiest girl currently in my living room.
Exactly. Very low standards. But yeah, this is...
But unlike low standards... George Strait, incredible. What a time. To think about the fact that songs like this were like super popular and like super country sounding.
So sad.
It's just, I am literally fucking
Is why I love this segment, because we can show people like, hey guys, remember what used to be number one on the radio? Like the other one I was going to think of doing was Boot Scootin' Boogie was number one this year, or not this year, this week, some other year, but... And then there was a Don Williams song another year. And I was just like, God, there were so fucking many good ones. It was just, I didn't really know that Don Williams won that much or that well. So
which one was it?
Do
you recall?
Oh, fuck, what's it called? That's What Love Will Do? Or That's What... Oh, God damn it. I'm forgetting the name.
That's The Way Love Goes? No, that's George. They're fucking Merle Haggard.
Yeah, that's what that...
Unless Don Williams also did it. Unless Merle did it. I don't even know.
See, Don Williams, That's the thing about love. That's it. I didn't know that one that well, so I just didn't do it. But yeah, Carrying Your Love With Me, it's a fantastic song. Everyone should listen to it.
Respect.
So before we go, we're going to talk about the albums that came out last week. There are two really great ones, and one that's good that I thought was worth mentioning. First, we'll do that one just because we'll get out of the way. The Royal Hounds, Low Class Songs for High Class People. It's just this really cool, like, I'm trying to think what genre. It's like, it's country-ish, but it has kind of like, I don't want to say Motown, but it has like the brass section and kind of stuff with it. And it's,
oh, nice.
It's really interesting. It's one that I got emailed about. That's how I knew it came out. And it's really interesting sound. I like it. It's just not like traditional country like these next two that we're going to talk about. But
I do like horns.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's worth checking out for sure.
What was it again?
The Royal Hounds.
Royal Hounds.
And it's a purple cover with just like a I can't think of what, a Basset Hound, I think is the type of dog it is. It's the one that's really droopy looking. And he's wearing a crown.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good one. But next up is Mike and the Moon Pies Cheap Silver and Solid Country Gold. Mike Moon Pie and the Moon Pies are phenomenal, and you should just check them out because they're them.
They are on a fucking heater.
Yeah, they are.
Going from Steak Night to this is a tremendous 2-year turn of music.
Yeah, it's
like fucking incredible.
So good. Just after hearing You Look Good in Neon, I was like, and the songs they played at the concert when I saw them not that long ago, I knew it was going to be.
You know what? I thought this whole album was great, but the line that kept sticking with me that I thought was so clever was the song If You Want to Fool Around, where it's saying, If you want a fool around, I'm the fool to have around. But also, if you want to fool around, we can fuck. You know, it was. I was like, that's a good song. I like how you wrote that. That reminds me
of that one that we saw on. It was probably while we were watching Tales from the Tour Bus, where it's the guys who's like, I miss my wife's cooking every chance I get.
Every chance I get, exactly.
I love that fucking line. That's so funny.
Oh, yeah.
Such a great line. Anyway, but yeah. And then finally, which the album Kevin's not really a big fan of, but we'll talk about it anyway, is Tyler Childers Country Squire.
Yeah, this definitely did not trigger me into buying $200 worth of vinyls the other day. If that's what you're thinking.
Except not with vinyls, just with other shit I bought $200 worth of. But,
I just literally was like, I'm going to buy this Tyler Childers vinyl because it's great, and I want to have it. And then I bought it, and then I bought 7 other vinyls.
Yeah, so we're going to have a good enough for Kevin's vinyl collection for quite a while. But the only problem I have with this song is I just don't like the line, all yarn. All yarn. I don't get it. All yarn. I don't get it. What does that mean?
You wouldn't, yarn, bro.
But House Fire, I love that fucking song. It's so good. So good.
I don't know what my favorite is. House Fire is just so incredible, and like it just grabs you by the fucking balls and just shakes you into submission. You gotta grab it by the haunches and hump it into submission.
I'm gonna make a shirt that says Grab Life by the Balls and Shake It into Submission.
But yeah, no, I love this album. I really do. I'm still split on whether or not I think I like it more than Purgatory, because the thing about Purgatory was that I heard the entire thing start to finish, and that was the first time I heard any of the songs. Yeah. And having literally listened to House Fire and All Yorn like fucking 1,000 times before this album came out, it's a little interesting to like listen to an album and then have a song you've heard and then have more album. I think it's incredible. It's only 9 songs, so it's super easy to fly through. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this Tyler Childers dude's fucking great.
So I must have missed the lyric, but what was... Because I saw that Farce the Music posted the thing of just like, you're the two boys that boy whacking it in my shed with like the picture of with the...
Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, but it had Wheeler and Tyler Childers. What was the lyric about whacking it? I must have missed it.
No, it's literally... The entire song is about jerking.
Which one?
The song Ever Loving Hand is literally about being on the road in a hotel room. And he's just like, it's like kind of this nice love song where he's talking about how he's got like, I've got you, you know, on my mind or in my heart or whatever, and my ever loving hand. And he's just talking about jerking off because he's not going to cheat on his wife because he loves her. So he's just thinking about her and beating it.
I was listening to it while I was working around the apartment. So I must have just. That must have just gone right over my head.
Give it a re-listen, okay. And you'll just be like, oh.
Yeah, it definitely will. It's not surprising, because Tyler Childers has a really good sense of humor. You can tell by like just the stupid shit he posts. And
well, he played it. He played this live. Were you with us when we were...
No, I didn't get to go to that.
Iowa City. Oh, you weren't. Yeah. No, he played it for us live, because he just literally introduces like, this song is about jerking off. Just went into it.
That's That's really funny. Yeah, that.
And I didn't believe him until he sang it. I'm like, oh, yeah, all right.
That Beavis and Butthead meme made me laugh, but yeah, I didn't really get it.
Beavis and Butthead has given me some of my absolute favorite moments that can be like captured in GIF form. The you're the two kids who've been beaten off in my woodshed, and then just the one where Beavis is looking at his own grave and it just says, "Here lies Beavis, he never scored." That's my favorite GIF I've ever seen of any GIF ever. Oh, just "Here lies Beavis, he never scored."
That's so funny. All right, so yeah, I guess I don't have to ask you what you've been listening to, because obviously that's it.
It has been, well, so I had 7 of the 8 vinyls arrive already, because Amazon is a beautiful thing, and it has 2-day shipping.
Dude, I had same-day shipping the other day, and it made me so happy.
Well, fuck you!
It's because
I've been listening to a lot of the vinyls that I bought. Center.
Oh, yeah. Which we'll talk about.
Well, yeah, you're in the Chicago land. Yes, yeah, so Chicago.
I get same day on orders of like $35 or more, or whatever. So,
oh, nice. Yeah, no, I've been listening to. So, I mean, I don't have to talk about all of them, but one of the albums that I'm really excited that I have on vinyl now is I got the Cody Jinx reissue of Less Wise. I love that album so much.
I didn't think you liked Cody Jinx that much.
It's just, well, so now I have all of them except for 30. but no, that's one of them where I'm like, this is really a tremendous album to start to finish. I really like it. So that one for sure. Also Sturgill's fucking Sailor's Guide to Earth. That on vinyl is really nice to go through because it's you know, all the horns and shit. But the thing that's really cool about it is when you flip the sides, the intro into the back half is the, I don't know if you remember, I can't even remember what the fucking song is, but it does like a kind of a slow build into, then you hear like the ringing of the bell, like the boat's coming into harbor, mm-hmm. and then it kicks off the second side. I'm like, that's a really neat front side, back side kind of thing.
Yeah. He knows music. I haven't listened to too much because I've been home, so I've just been watching stuff, but I started watching that TV show, The Boys, on Amazon Prime.
I watched the whole thing.
Did you watch the whole thing? I'm only 2 episodes.
Finished it yesterday.
Yeah, I'm only 2 episodes in, but I fucking love it so far. It's
well, let me tell you exactly what happens.
Oh, okay. but yeah, so I've been watching that. It's good. I finished Strangers.
Yeah, Stranger I would Homes recommend too, it.
And that's season 3 is definitely better than the others, or better than 2. Better than 2, I should say.
Is it season 1's because still my favorite. So I've watched 1 and 2. I thought season 2 sucked big old dongers.
Season 2 sucks.
And to be completely honest, I didn't even care that much about season 1. I just watched it because everyone else did. And now I have literally zero like interest in watching season 3. But if it's good, I'll think about it.
I like it. I still think the first was the best because it had mystery behind it. Whereas they've expanded, the universe. But they ditched the stupid fucking season 2 thing of, like, she had her friend superhero things where she left for the episode and it was fucking terrible.
That was one of the worst episodes of any show I've seen ever.
When people were saying, just skip episode, I don't know, 6 or whatever it was, when they're like, just skip that episode, I was like, nah, I'll watch it. And then I was like, no, I should have skipped that episode. It's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
It's
ridiculous.
It was atrocious. But they completely ditched that timeline. They didn't even address it in this season. Like, they kind of, they just corrected themselves back to goodness, and it is a great season.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's it for this week.
Oh, I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I know you saw it, and you said you didn't like it. I liked it a lot.
I fucking hated that movie. It was so boring. Nothing happened. They didn't do anything. It was a nothing movie.
Hard disagree, but okay.
It was so fucking... It had funny parts. I thought Brad Pitt was hilarious in the movie, but I just... He wasn't as funny as he was in Inglourious Basterds, though. You speak...
Yeah, well, Inglourious Basterds is a fucking almost perfect film. I love it.
I know. That's the thing. I love every single Tarantino movie, but then I left that one on, and me and Meg were both just like, what the fuck was that?
I think the best time was the Inglourious Basterds into Django. That was a fucking real nice groove. Yeah. Hateful Eight had a lot of really good parts. It was just way too long.
Yeah, it did drag a little.
I still haven't seen Jackie Brown. Have you seen Jackie Brown? I haven't seen it
a while ago. I don't really remember it that much.
Yeah, I've been thinking about watching it because I think it's on Amazon.
I have the Tarantino collection, so I have every movie of his.
You would, bitch.
I would. But no, yeah, like, I'm not huge on Death Proof either. I think that one's mediocre.
Yeah, that one was okay.
But Django, Inglourious Basterds, The Kill Bills, Reservoir Dogs, all Pulp Fiction, all phenomenal
Pulp Fiction
movies. Yeah. But I just, I like.
See, but you also, you hate Fargo, right?
No.
Oh, who is it that hates Fargo?
I don't know. I loved the movie Fargo.
Someone hated Fargo.
I only watched the first season.
I felt a lot of Fargo, not the show. I'm saying the movie. Yeah. I felt a lot of the movie Fargo in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I didn't think anything happened. I was bored.
I mean, I don't want to spoil things, but if you're completely unaware of the Manson family murders.
Well, no, I understood that part. 1960s. Yeah, I understood the Manson part. Because the second I saw dude from Justified, he was Charlie Manson. I was like, hey, that's Charlie Manson. You didn't even have to say his name. That guy looks like Charlie Manson.
Dude from Justified.
He plays,
Oh, you're not talking about Timothy Olyphant, who is also
not playing Charlie Manson.
The guy who
plays Charlie Manson when he shows up to the house, he's like, does Terry still live here or whatever? That guy?
So that guy's in Justified?
Yeah, he plays,
I didn't know that.
His name. He plays, like, this little wussy guy. But, he's in that. But, no, I liked the Charlie Manson and, like, the Brad Pitt kind of stuff with the chick from The Leftovers and shit. Like, I thought that stuff was decent. It was, like, Leonardo DiCaprio, he didn't really do anything. He didn't have any change of character. And then Margot Robbie was completely pointless. She didn't do anything. But...
All right, this requires some fucking girthy debate, and so we'll move on for now.
So that's it for this week. You can find us at countryhodgepodge.com, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Country Hodgepodge, Spotify, get my Hodgepodcast picks where we upload the songs we talk about each week. Kevin's picks of the week is on a link through the website, or we tweet it, or you can find the username Donkey Factory, one word. Kevin uploads 10 songs you should be listening to that week, and then also Fridays, or not Fridays, new music. It's This Month in Country. I have the old one written down on this one. This Month in Country, where we upload every album that comes out this month you should be checking out, and then...
What about That Month in Country?
I don't know. And then once the month ends, we move it over to the playlist 2019 in Country, where every album you should listen to is on it. And it's really long so far, and it's good. You can find our shirts on a link through the website or tpublic.com/user/clifftron, or if you search Country Hodgepodge. We just add the White Claw Country shirt, which is a big seller already. People love it. I think it's hilarious, too. That's my favorite new phrase that we have. And then also, I re-added the Fuck Nashville shirt. I just got rid of the...
Yeah.
I just took the Cody Jinx name off of it, so I think that's why it got taken down, because his name was on it. So it just says, Fuck Nashville, we'll start our own goddamn club. Which is something he said, but hey, maybe we won't get taken down this time. If it does, buy before it does get taken down.
Yeah, no, I think the reason it got taken down is because of his name, because it looks like a Cody Jinx brand... shirt, yeah. If it's got his name on
it. Yeah,
you know?
This is the same with the Is This Eric Church shirt got taken down, the Sam Hunt Sucks shirt got taken down. Walker A. Blows is still up there.
Well, some things are just indisputable.
And then the Taco Bell one, yeah. And then the Taco Bell one got taken down. But, yeah, so buy one of those shirts. That helps us pay for this podcast. And then you can find Kevin on Twitter at @CHP_Church, where he's probably going to be talking about the Bears for the next 20 weeks. And then rate and review the podcast on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher and SoundCloud as well. That's it for this week. Until next week, we'll be talking about Sam Hunt.
I have an idea. What if you say, instead of Taco Bell spelled Taco Bell, you just do TAC and then it's O'Bell? Taco Bell.
The Taco Bells.
I'm just saying. Could sneak right past.
Yeah, I still need to make the Bro Pretzel shirt.
Bro Pretzel.
But yeah, so that's it for this week. Until next week, my name is Steve Hodge. As always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good Charlotte.